Child Poverty Action Group's food security kaikōrero is Dr. Kelly Garton. Child Poverty Action Group's demanding answers after it's been revealed that thousands of MSD food assistance applications have been declined on the basis that food was not an essential need, raising concerns about growing food insecurity and how emergency support is being assessed. Now, Kelly has a lot of background academic in this area. She looks at the commercial determinants of health, both globally and here, studying the regulation of food environments, etc., through taxes. It's a pleasure to have a kōrero with Dr. Kelly Garton. Hey, Kelly. Tēnā koe. It's me, Dale. Thanks very much for joining us on Wāte. Kia ora.
Morena, Dale. Thanks so much for having me.
I just found this absolutely bizarre that MSD have turned down so many applications for a bit of kai to put on the table. It's for kids. Adults don't go getting the kai for themselves. It's trying to feed their kids. 8,000 food grant applications were reportedly declined because the food was recorded as not an essential need, bizarrely. What does this tell us about the way the welfare system's responding to hardship in our country, Kelly?
Well, the ministry's claiming that this was an administrative error, right? So they had decided to decline the application and then mistakenly ticked that box that food is an essential item. This mistake did happen 8,000 times, but the ministry is maintaining that it doesn't change the fact that they had already agreed to or decided to decline the application. Now, the report shows that 88,000 applications were denied in 2025. So that's a 6% decline rate overall. There were about 318,000 applicants last year alone. So that's nearly 6% of the population. So I think there's a deeper structural problem here where we have far too many people reaching out who are in dire need for kai in emergencies. And a lot of these people, the average number of times people were applying for assistance was 4 times. So this isn't necessarily a one-off. We've got whānau who are continuously struggling to put food on the table. A lot of this will be for kids. And it's just not acceptable, especially in a high-income country like ours, where we produce enough kai to feed our population several times over. It's a real problem with resource distribution, really, and inequity.
Well, it's certainly an issue that, I mean, no one goes knocking on the door of MSD for a food parcel unless they're absolutely in desperate circumstances. It should be a source of shame and embarrassment for us as a nation that this is their reality. You've spoken about rising food insecurity and stagnant wages, higher unemployment. What impact are these pressures having on whānau, and particularly because they can't help but being drawn into the vortex on our tamariki? What are you seeing on the ground, Kelly?
Yeah, well, a recent report showed that a third of households experienced some kind of food insecurity in the past year. And it was 30% of full-time working households. So this isn't just an issue on the margins. This is affecting whānau across Aotearoa. The numbers for children are pretty concerning as well. So 1 in 5 tamariki is living in a household where food runs out often or sometimes, or where they eat less because of lack of money. So this is a really serious issue. That's a child who's going to school hungry or going to bed hungry, has a really hard time learning at school. There are, health, nutrition, well-being, and educational knock-on effects of this that our entire society should be concerned about.
Tēnā koe. Child Poverty Action Group's criticised recent welfare reforms as punitive. What changes would you like to see from the government and the Minister, Louise Upston, to ensure people can consistently access enough kai to meet their basic needs?
Yeah, well, one of the priority areas that the Child Poverty Action Group has researched very thoroughly involves some reform around incomes. So lifting minimum wage to the living wage, as well as raising benefits to cover basic needs and indexing that to the consumer price index so it keeps increasing with inflation. Also replacing the working for families system with a non-discriminatory and less confusing child tax credit. But also the other policy that we need to be really seriously thinking about is the Healthy School Lunches program. So this program has immediate benefits for tamariki who are receiving healthy lunches. It does need to be adequately funded so that those lunches can be nutritious and appealing. But this acts to reduce child hunger and reduce pressure on family budgets in the short term, but it improves their health and education outcomes in the longer term and actually puts us in a better economic position long term. So we do need to think about A, appropriate funding for Kaoraka Ako, making it permanent as well, and scaling up to reach more kids, because clearly the problem of food insecurity is increasing.
That we have, even some of these people accessing it, we tend to think they're people on benefits, but that's not the case, is it? Often working multiple jobs, but still can't manage the books or balance the books. It's an indictment on our society and our low-wage economy. That people are forced into positions of having to go to MSD to get some support. And it does appear to me that at times that organisation's first response as a norm, maybe a generalisation, is to say no. No first, then the client has to sort of fight their way forward for their entitlements, eventually getting a yes. But the first response so often is no.
Yeah, it's a deeply flawed system. And look, I think Louise Epstein was warned several times that food insecurity was increasing. This came out as part of the OIA request, and has repeatedly acted against expert advice and against evidence. So really, the leadership of the ministry really needs to answer to this. I think if it was anyone else, they would have lost their job already.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. You've put a bit of thinking into the school lunch program. It was a hot topic. It's gone off the radar a little bit now, but it might have gone off our students' appeal. What do we know about the school lunch program? How is it sitting since they cut the quality of the kai so severely a year or two back, Kelly?
Yeah, so we know that they gutted funding for the program a year and a half ago, down to less than half of the funding per lunch that they were providing before. And as you say, we did have a number of issues with quality and safety right off the bat. Now, at the moment, we're locked in for this year, but the political parties have come out, certain political parties have come out in support of restoring Kaoraka Ako to the level of funding it had before, to giving schools back the flexibility to choose which lunch providers they would work with to make sure that the meals are meeting their students' needs, and also to make it permanent. And even some parties are agreeing to scale it up to reach more kids. So the Green Party has come out in support, Te Pāti Māori has come out in support, Labor has agreed to restore the program to its previous level of funding. And the Opportunity Party has come out in support of it as well. So it's kaia is becoming a campaign issue. I think it's a really important one. It's one that's affecting all New Zealanders. I think we need to keep putting pressure on these politicians to get behind the program, because it really works. It has a huge impact.
It's been a pleasure having a cordial with you, Kelly. Thanks very much for sharing some thoughts on the food parcel issue out of MSD and, of course, the school lunch program. All the best going forward. Appreciate your thoughts and time today, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Kia ora.
Tēnā koe. Dr. Kelly Garton with us from Auckland University, where she is a senior research fellow in epidemiology, biostatistics, and talking there about food banks, the disappointing reality that so many people need that sort of support.